Welcome to the Financial Beast Podcast, the practice owner's guide to maximize practice value and create personal financial success. Your host, Eric Miller, is the co-owner and chief advisor at Econologix Financial Advisors. He is also a national speaker and published author in financial matters focused on practice owners at every phase of ownership.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the Financial Beast for Veterinary podcast. This is where we show you guys how to harness the power of your practice to build personal wealth and hopefully go out at the top of your game. I'm going to be your host, Chief Advisor Eric Miller, and I'm here with,
as always, Eric Gersh.
And we're talking today, as you can see from the title, what's the biggest expense that a veterinary owner has? Now, I always love asking this question because we get so many answers and everybody always misses the correct answer. Like, it's very few that I've actually seen people hit the correct answer. I'm not going to give it to you right away because we do want to go through the expenses of a veterinary practice because it is expensive to run a veterinary practice.
Very expensive.
I always get amazed when you look at like a profit and loss statement and like the revenue top is like just like one or two lines. And then you break down all the expenses and it's like
two, three pages
of expenses.
Yep.
And then if there's just an itty bitty piece left over for the veterinarian to keep. Okay. So let's get into it. And we'll talk about the biggest expenses that you have. So let's take number one, Eric, what's the first expense that when you ask that question to most veterinarians, what do you think they're going to say?
Payroll.
I think that's pretty easy to say. And it's pretty true. I mean, I guess we can break up payroll into kind of two subcategories. We'll look at non-veterinarians and then your veterinary staff.
Yep.
Right. Or your associates. So, and it is a big expense.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So what is it that you're looking out? Well, let's just put it this way. What do you see most veterinarians run at for those expenses?
I would say all in, doctors, support staff, benefits, payroll taxes, all in 50 to 55%, yeah. Probably for like a new client who hasn't thinned down or,
yeah,
you know, became more efficient. I would say your average practice, yeah, 50 to 55%.
Yeah, which is high, yeah. But that's probably right for someone that's maybe running a little bit inefficient and maybe has...
Yeah, and that's why you see a, you know, 5 to 8% profit margin.
Yeah, yeah, that's one of the reasons for sure.
One of the reasons.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons for sure. So, yeah, I mean, look, I know that most veterinarians don't like to confront the numbers. They don't like to look at their profit and loss statements. They don't like to look at like percentages or anything like that. But, you know, it's, you have to. I mean, how else are you going to know like what areas that you need to address? But that's definitely, I mean, that's a huge expense right there. That's a big expense.
That's half of every dollar that comes in the door.
So, and you know, look, you need people. You just can't like, well, you know, how am I going to get that down? Let me just cut this person. It's far easier just to get them to produce more.
Agreed.
You know, just to get them to. So I think the first reaction that everyone has is like, oh, my payroll's too high. Let's just cut people. As opposed to maybe I'm not training them well enough. Maybe they don't know how to schedule properly. Maybe they don't know how to, you know, ask for additional services or get referrals or whatever it is. I mean, there's a lot of things that you can do to get people to produce a little bit more and work a little bit faster. But what should the ranges be? So when we're looking at a profit and loss statement, like what do you like to see the ranges be?
Ideally, I like to see all in 45.
Yeah.
40 to 45. I mean, getting down to 40 is probably pretty rare. It's doable, but it's rare. But yeah, I mean, all in at 45 between doctors and support staff is achievable.
Probably depends on your demographic too. Like if you're in a big city or something like that, it's probably gonna be a little bit more expensive.
Yeah. And while you're paying more, but you're also probably charging more. So
yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Should balance out.
That's true. Yeah. I didn't think about that. Yeah. So, so if you're looking at non-support staff, right around 20, 22%, and then the the veterinary pay right around, I guess, 25%. That would put you in that 40 to 45% range. And, you know, obviously you can do less, but look, this is where, you know, you're going to have to make sure, number one, that your veterinarians are getting the production that they should be producing as well. And that's been a point of contention that I've had with a lot of veterinarians is like, how much should my associates be producing? And I'm like, man, it all depends on what you want your lifestyle to look like. Like if you just want to barely get by and, you know, just have enough to, you know, pay for your lifestyle, you can get away with them only producing 400,000 or 500,000, 600,000.
Yep.
But if you really want them to, if you want to have a lifestyle where you're profitable, where your household's taken care of, where you're debt free, where you're creating multiple income sources, and you're building a practice that has significant value, I mean, they have to be producing over 750, you know, to $1 million. I think.
I was going to say 800 yeah. to a million.
I think that's where it needs to be.
It does. Yeah. And at that range, your associate they're being paid well because they're most likely on some pro sale agreement.
So yeah.
They're taking home 200,000. They're happy.
Yeah.
It's better for everyone.
So this is where I think we get into a lot of the objections. Well, they don't want to do surgeries. Well, they don't want to do certain this, or they want their work-life balance and, you know, kind of all the blah, blah, blah. And I try to be patient when I hear that, but
easier said than done.
It is. And I know maybe you just have the wrong people, you know, like if that's someone's attitude, like maybe they're just not the right fit for you. And I think that's the hard part but they're so hard to find and, yep. you know, and I totally get it. So either the person's got to change their attitude and realize that they're part of a group now. And if you want to be part of a group, this is your role. This is your expectation. This is what you need to do to help the group and yourself or not. And, you know, I guess that's probably an old school way to do it. But, you know, what can I tell you?
Yeah, you walked uphill to school, uphill home. Oh. I know.
You're not that much younger than me.
Yeah, we got what, 15 years?
Yeah. I mean,
it's a generation.
You know, but you're from Michigan, so I know you know about snow. All right. So I think we killed expenses on the salary, right? So that is a big expense. What's the next biggest expense you typically hear people talk about?
Taxes.
Yeah. Okay. So, and this is going to be the tax bill that they owe at the end of the year on their profit, right?
Yeah. Well, that and having to make those estimated payments every quarter and taking that draw from the business account to pay it. And taxes.
Yeah. So here's another, this will kind of dovetail into what we're going to talk about at the end, which is how many people when they first came to you actually had a tax account?
Very few.
None.
Very few.
Right. But yet every single year they get a call from their accountant that says,
here's what you owe.
You owe blank. Right. And I think this is the disconnect because a lot of veterinarians don't realize that the business is a liability to the household from a tax perspective.
Yep.
Right. Because the business creates a tax burden for the household.
Yeah. That the household pays.
Yes. And what I mean by that is because even though the business is owned in a corporation, LLC or an S corp, the profit of that organization, the taxes are owed at the household level.
Unless you're a C corp.
Unless you're a C corp.
It's rare, but they are out there. That doesn't apply to you guys.
Mostly like most of the people.
But yeah. Are if you're an S corp, right? Your profit, it flows through onto your personal tax return where you pay the tax.
Yeah, exactly. So wouldn't it make sense then that if I'm going to be running the business, I'm going to have to assume that because this liability is created by the business, that the business should help offset it?
Yeah. I think that's fair.
So you're going to need to make sure that there is an account to capture what your estimated taxes would be for the year.
Yeah.
And when money comes into the organization, a percentage of that has to go into your tax account.
Yeah. And the simple way that I've had some clients do it, and you know, I'm not giving tax advice here by any means, but very simple way, look at your P&L every month, 6 weeks, whatever. I mean, you should be looking at it more frequently than that. But for tax reasons, look at it once a month. Look at that bottom line. If you don't have 25% of that in your tax account, you're behind.
Yeah. Pretty simple.
Yeah.
Pretty simple. It's just allocation of money, you know? And then that way, at the end of the year, when the accountant calls and says, hey, you owe blank on your taxes, it's not like a huge, like, oh my God, where am I going to get the money from?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's right here.
Yeah. Most of it. I mean, you might have a little more, you might have a little less, but if you're saving 25% or so, you're going to be in the range.
Yeah. And then from there, you know, the accountant should be like, looking at how they can like help minimize the tax liability. You know, yeah, every single year.
That's a whole nother topic.
That is a whole nother topic, which we should get into at some point in time.
We will.
Okay.
It's on here.
So, okay. So taxes is the second biggest expense. And I think the handling for that is just, and again, I think your 25% of,
profit
is probably a pretty good barometer for that. When you factor in the effective tax rate. So, okay. So what's the third biggest expense?
Cost of goods sold.
Yeah. So look, I mean, this is an industry that is definitely heavy in this area right here. Probably, I think of all the industries that we handle, this is the veterinary industry. Cost of goods sold is probably the biggest expense for most of them. But So this is an area that gets super out of control. And I think this is where the owner really has to be mindful of who's ordering it. Is there a method and a process of how you guys order cost of goods sold? Because it always seems to be a problem. You know, well, you know, it's 30%. It's, you know, 35%. I'm like, whoa. So I think we kind of went back and forth on this, but from what I've read and what I've seen from most veterinarians, if they can keep it in that 19 to 22, 23% range, they're doing good, you know? Yeah. You know,
and they say the average is 24 to 28, but you want to be above average. So you want to be lower than that.
Yeah. I mean, if you probably looked at like some of the big corporations and what they spend on cost of goods sold, I'm going to bet it's like in the single digits.
Oh yeah. They're very, I mean, they're efficient in that because they're ordering large amounts, economies of scale. So they do that, you know, package the practices together, order a bunch of vaccines and get them for a couple cents cheaper. That makes a big difference.
Yeah. I'm going to say that that's really how some of these big corporations can win at the end of the game, because everybody's like, you know, has the same expenses. I mean, everyone has some staff pay. You have the same rent, you know, they have the same, a lot of these things. Like what areas do these corporations really can be effective, and cost of goods sold is the area where they can really just destroy a private practice.
Yeah. That's definitely one,
you know, area because they have that. So, but it is a big expense. I mean, you have to order, you know, medicines and, you know, food and whatever other accessories that you need to deliver your services. And it is a big expense. So, you know, if you can keep it in that range. So I guess this also goes to who's doing the ordering. And I think that when I've seen it get out of control, you know, the owner is given the practice manager or someone in like the delivery area, like free reign to just go buy whatever they want to.
Yep.
So you got to maintain some control over that area and not overspend. Cause then all of a sudden you just have like tons of stuff on your shelf and you have all this inventory and
now you're at 30%.
Yeah. Nobody's buying it. So, okay. So taxes, cost of goods sold and payroll. Is that about right?
Yep.
That makes up a pretty big percentage of what a veterinary practice.
Yeah. I mean, you add that together, that's probably 70% of the revenue.
Yeah. And then of course you can probably throw in rent, overhead, maybe equipment stuff. If there's a buyout of a loan or a building or something like that. I mean, those are big expenses as well, but none of those are the actual biggest expense that you have.
What is?
So let's break down what the biggest expense that most of you have. Well, let's go back and remember that your practice is an investment and it's probably the biggest investment that you have. And I think if you're going to own an investment, then you'd want to get the maximum value for that investment. And you would make sure that that investment is operating at its max capacity.
Agree. Right?
So if I own a 3,000 square foot veterinary practice, And let's say I have three exam rooms.
Okay.
Okay. And forget about how many doctors I have right now. Forget about how many staff I have right now. Forget about how many vet techs I have right now. Forget about all that. If I was just looking at the facility and kind of looking at my demographics, and I said, okay, I got three exam rooms, surgery room, you know, front desk, whatever, you know, I got I have the structure of a veterinary practice.
Okay.
First question that I'm going to ask myself is what? Like,
how much revenue should I be doing?
How much revenue what's my potential?
Yeah.
Out of this facility?
What could I be doing?
What could I be doing? Right. So that's the first question that we would ask every owner, challenge them and say, okay, look at your facility. What is the potential production, your capacity level in this facility? Okay. And most of them probably like, I mean, I don't really know. So let's just break it down. Right. Let's break it down per an exam room. Right. Okay. So how many people can you see in an exam room a day?
Depending on how long your appointments are, let's say 15 to 19.
Okay.
That's probably,
that's probably fair. Yeah. Probably fair. And then what is a good average transaction?
Let's say 250. I hear 220 up to 280 pretty commonly. So let's say 250.
Let's do 200.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's do $200.
Okay.
Okay. So I got, and let's do 15 patients at $200.
Okay. So one exam room, $3,000 a day.
Three.
That's nine.
Yep. So $3,000 a day. So let's keep it on one exam room.
Okay.
So $3,000 a day. And then how many days is the typical veterinary practice open every single month?
Probably
23.
So that's 69, let's say 70,000.
Okay. So that exam room is worth 70 grand to me, right? And let's say I have three of them. So what is that?
It's 840 per year per exam room. So total of just above 2.5.
So if I just kind of look at that facility, three exam rooms, 3,000 square foot, if they're at max capacity, then my revenue is at about 2.5 million.
Yeah. Throw in some surgery and I would say three.
Pretty close to three. Yep. Yeah. So that's the first thing that you would do. Right. And that is that's just a method of calculating your facility capacity goal. And I would say that and the profit margin on that one, let's do a 2.4 million. And because you get it to capacity, you're going to probably be at a pretty good profit margin, aren't you?
Yeah. You're probably touching 20% north of it. You know, I mean, you could see as high as 30.
I'd do 20, do 25.
Okay.
Yeah.
So at that profit margin, you'd be looking at 600K a profit
per year. And a $600,000 profit per year. And let's take that at, let's do a 9 multiple on that one.
$5.4 million.
Right. That's not bad. You know, yeah. I don't think anybody would look at their practice and say, wow, that's a $5.4 million investment that a potential that I have. Right. Yeah. So, okay. So let's get into what the biggest expense is. So we figured what the facility capacity goal and that size of a practice would be. Now, again, it's going to vary from demographic to demographic. And if you're in a rural area, I know it's probably going to be a little bit less and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But, so now what are you doing in your practice right now? So if I took that same $2.4 million a year practice, and let's break that down on a monthly basis. How much is that on a monthly basis? 200,000?
200K.
Yeah. So let's say that my potential is 200,000. And right now I'm working on 1.5 docs. I'm down a support staff, and I'm doing 180 a month.
Okay.
Okay. No, I'm sorry. That's too much.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah. No, that's too much.
A doctor and a half down support staff, let's say $120 a month.
Yeah. Let's say I'm doing $120 or $130 a month. Okay. What's my biggest expense now?
The loss of revenue.
Yes. It's the lost revenue potential. That's my biggest expense. Because if I could be doing 200 and I'm doing a 130, that's a $70,000 lost revenue every single month.
Yeah, that's $840K
a year. $840,000
a year. That's more than your cost of goods sold.
Cost of goods sold is not that much.
Payroll.
Payroll is probably not that much.
Ooh.
You know, none of those taxes are certainly not that much. Though that is your biggest expense right there, is money that you should have made and you didn't. And once you guys kind of figure that out, then you're like, oh my gosh, yes. Like that is the game that we're trying to get to, is like, how do we get you to your facility capacity goal? Now look, it's not easy to do at all, because it's easy for me to say, well, you're down, you know, you need another doctor. No duh.
Yeah.
You know,
got to go out and hire,
you know,
that other doctor.
Or you need another support. Oh, of course I do, but I don't know how to do it. How do I get all those things? You got to start putting it there. You got to start putting like the order in the business, so that it will attract, you know, someone that wants to be there. If you had a disorderly place, if everyone's like bad culture and all those stuff, you're not going to be a place that is going to attract good people.
No.
You know, I mean, you have to market the business too, you know, that it's a place that everyone likes to have fun. And, you know, this is where your promotion and your online presence, I think, is important, you know, to start, you know, figuring out how you can get good people in there.
Yep.
You
know, social media.
I mean, you guys don't have to just throw $50,000 bonuses at veterinarians to get them. Just because corporate's doing that doesn't mean everyone wants to do that. There are plenty of them out there that actually want to get mentored and correctly, and you know, aren't just doing it for the money.
No. Yeah. I mean, the whole corporate is just based around quantity. Refer everything hard out. And if you're really willing to mentor and you're willing to teach, and, you know, there's just a lot of opportunities that can be had in a private practice that these doctors aren't getting at corporate. And if you know how to sell that, you're not going to have that hard of a time hiring.
No.
My doctors, I mean, I can think of a couple specific people right off the top of my head. They never have trouble hiring, even over the last couple of years. And what they do is they don't buy into the whole, it's impossible to find an associate. Yes, it's hard. Yes, it takes a lot of work.
Yeah.
But it's not impossible.
No. I mean, look, if what you're doing right now isn't working or getting people in there, then you're not doing enough to get the people in there. You know, you have to either get more creative, or you have to expand your communication channels, or, you know, I mean, there's other things that you're going to have to do in order to get the right people in the door. But first you have to like think that the game is winnable. You know, like if you think that the game isn't winnable, we just can't do it, then, you know,
you're not going to.
Yeah, you're definitely stuck right there. But yeah, I think that's, you know, when we say we want you to get your facility capacity goal, it's not like, okay, so let's say your capacity would be 200 and you're doing like 130. You know, even if you minimize that gap by like half, yeah, your life is better.
You noticeably.
Know? Noticeably better, right? Because most of that money is going to be at a higher profit margin.
Yeah.
Because you're already paying your fixed expenses. They're not going up that much. I mean, your staff payroll may go up a little bit.
Your electric bill isn't.
Yeah.
Your rent isn't.
But your rent, your electric bill. So a lot of that money between what you're doing right now and what your capacity would be is going to be at a much higher profit margin.
Yep.
So it's going to be much more beneficial for you. It's going to pad your reserves. It's going to allow you to expand, because I know a lot of people get worried about like hiring people. I just don't know if I can hire anybody. I don't know if we have enough to cover, blah, blah, blah. But I think that's one thing that, you know, will happen as you get closer to your capacity. And then if you want to then make a decision to expand, go get another satellite practice. What else are they doing? Just
adding square footage to their current place. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just had a vet that did that. You know, he added like two more exam rooms because he got to his capacity. He's like, I can't see any more people. I got to either buy another building, which I don't want to do, or I can just add on to what I have right now. And I'm like, well, just add on to what you have right now.
Well, that's a good problem to have.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not like the marketing is like takes up a huge part of most veterinaries' budget. You know,
no.
I don't think they have to spend more than 1 to 3% on marketing.
No.
I haven't seen that. And that makes you guys, I mean, this is what I love about the veterinary industry. Some of the things that other practice owners have to deal with, they don't.
No.
You know?
They don't.
You guys don't have to deal with insurance companies.
Oh, that's the single biggest blessing, right?
You know? You don't have to deal with having to market and get referrals from like doctors or anything like that. So you guys really have to look. Now, do you have other problems? You know, because obviously people expect their veterinarians to do everything for free, unfortunately.
Yep.
And it's hard to find good staff sometimes. But I mean, that's just any business. I think you're going to hear that.
Yeah.
So, but all right. Well, that was good. Facility capacity. So make sure you know that number. Look at your facility. If you're not sure exactly how to do it, you can give us a call. You can go to our website. You can, set up a free consultation with one of our advisors. And, we can certainly, point you in the right direction of what to do. Your practice is your biggest investment. It is the means in which we show you how to get financially independent so that your household can benefit. But, we have to understand how the business operates and what it looks like when it's most profitable so that it can benefit your household. And that's the number one priority, because when we see a business that's dying, it's not profitable, it's just hard to do anything else financially. It's hard to invest. It's hard to get out of debt. It's hard to have reserves and emergency funds. Just it's hard to do when the practice isn't viable.
No.
So, okay. I think that's it. We will see you on the next episode. Take care, everyone.
You have been listening to the Financial Beast podcast, where we talk about how to turn practice profits into personal financial wealth. For more information on how to become a financial beast in practice ownership, visit financialbeastpodcast.com. You may also want to call the office at 727-588-1540 to request more information on becoming a client or arrange to have Eric speak at your next event. That's 727-588-1540 or financialbeastpodcast.com.